Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly podcast. I kind of sound like TV reporter. This is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly podcast. Bible study. Anyway, whatever. Just being silly. Have fun, right? Have fun. Enjoy yourself. That's what I'm trying to do. Hey, I'm excited to be with you today. We are in lesson one. This is day six, and we are heading into the next four chapters of Acts. All of a sudden, my brain just went goodbye. And looking forward to doing that with you today. It's been quite a journey, and we've got four new chapters to cover today. So much is going to happen today. It's like this, it's like Luke all of a sudden just takes everything that he's been kind of pacing out a little bit at a time, and he himself is zooming over journeys and locations and trials and tribulations and engagements with normal, sane people and just crazy people, literally, and possessed people and what have you. So we're going to get into that today. Lots to take in. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. Super, super glad you guys are with me. Grab your Bible, grab your cup of coffee or your water, whatever you're drinking right now. And let's get into the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together today, for these folks joining me. Thank you for your word and how it just reminds us of the power of who you are and the power of the faith that we have because of you. Be with us now in our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me go ahead and switch screens here with you so you can see the lesson. Hello. And we, again, are in, this is lesson one. This is day six. And today we'll be flying over Acts 17 all the way through to chapter 20 and rounding the corner, getting close to wrapping up our first flyover through Acts here. Let's go ahead and write our memory verse, Acts 4:12. How are you doing on that? Have you written it on a post-it note, stuck it up in your bathroom, put it in your car, bind it around your neck, your head? What does that verse say? Write it on the tablets of your heart, it says in Proverbs 3. Here is chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. Acts chapter 4. Well, we, for your tip today, is to read a passage straight through before taking notes and then read it again for detail. So that's pretty much what we're modeling in the way I've been approaching the scripture in this first lesson, reading through the whole chapter and then going back through. And of course, I've reminded you as we go through to also to read the questions that I'm going to be asking you so that you can be thinking ahead to those and then come up with your own questions and your own observations as well. You can record them anywhere on the page, but I've given you space here on the side to write about what you're learning and seeing about God and his character, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, how you live your spiritual life and anything else that you're learning as we go. So take the time to do that. It'll make a huge difference instead of approaching a Bible study and just kind of I got to get this done mode, which anytime we set up to do something and be disciplined about it, there's always that can happen where we end up just doing it to get it done and off our to-do list. And there's something to be said about just doing that. But we want to avoid that because it can cause us to be callous and kind of dead about it. We want to have that joy and enthusiasm every time we're in the Word. And so truly engaging it, heart, soul, mind, strength, is how to do that. So that's what we try to do here. All right, we're going to read chapter 17 and through 20, and we'll be looking at the following questions to be thinking about. In chapter 17, where does Paul travel in this chapter? And trust me, it's a lot. There's a lot of travels. So, go back up here. Get up to hit the home button. Come on, home. Nope. Here we go. Sorry. There we go. Wait, I need to be at, 17. Just making sure. All right, here we go. Chapter 17. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis. Oh my goodness gracious, these names. Amphipolis and Apollonia. There we go. They came to Thessalonica. I've also heard it pronounced Thessalonica. Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as it was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. but the Jews were jealous. And taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men have turned the world upside down and have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they're all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the, are you seeing the locations? Amphipolis, and Apollonia, Thessalonica, Berea. I've kind of highlighted them for you as we go. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off this way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange thing to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious, for I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is not actually far." Say that again. "Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." So good. "And even some of our own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed in art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And all of this he has given us assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite, Areopagite, yes. Seriously, these are such tongue twisters sometimes. Dionysius the Areopagite. I'll get it right eventually. How are you doing on saying all these words? Dionysius the Areopagite. And a woman named Damaris and others with them." All right, simple question today. Where does Paul travel? Well, he travels a lot. And I went ahead and highlighted them for you. Thessalonica, Amphipolis, and Apollonia, Berea, Athens, and so on. All right, good job. Moving on. All right, chapter 18. What message does Paul receive from the Lord, and how long does he stay in Corinth? Let's check it out. chapter 18. Now, all right, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And when he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed here a year and 6 months, teaching the word among God, word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have to reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. Man, these people are crazy. All right. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself went to the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." And he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed in Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. And spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. So here we are in chapter 18. What message does Paul receive from the Lord? Well, let's go ahead and take a peek back there. I highlighted it. He just tells him, don't be afraid. Go on speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you. No one's going to attack you to harm you. I have many in the city who are my people. Christ gives him that encouragement. How long does he stay in Corinth? But again, back to this passage here, it says a year and 6 months. So 18 months or a year and 6 months, he stays there. Chapter 19, we're going to just summarize Paul's work here in Ephesus. All right. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Tyrannus? Not sure. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. That's a big deal. All the residents of Asia. All right. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." After having sent into Macedonia 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. There is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be dispossessed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship." When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging them with Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews put forward, and Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" When the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is a temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. But we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. All right, so huge, huge riot. Where's the riot? Oh, okay, well, anyway, this work in chapter 19 that Paul does ends in this big riot. He speaks out. There's a demon possession. They don't recognize this guy who's speaking. And then this huge riot here in Ephesus because of Paul's words and the fear of them dispossessing their great goddess and who Artemis is. So you can summarize that on your own, but there was just a basic overview of what's happening there in chapter 19. All right, let's turn the corner and wrap it up here today with chapter 20, describing the miracles that take place in Troas and what is the emotional tone? Why is it so dramatic at the end of this chapter? Let's hear what happens. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said, farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months. And when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return to Macedonia, or through Macedonia. Soapter, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychius and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day, we touched at Samos, and the day after, we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day as I set foot on Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plot of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public from house to house, testifying to both the Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you on this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. There was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." Wow. Well, here we have wrapped up, and we see this amazing miracle taking place where this young man has fallen asleep during one of Paul's messages because he had preached for so long. He falls out of this window and he appears to have died, or perhaps even died. And so he's raised up again. And the emotional tone of the end, well, it's so dramatic because Paul has invested so much time in their community and is so concerned about their growth. But he knows he says he's not going to be able to return to them. So he's pretty sad about that, and they're sad as well. All right, so that wraps up our lesson for today. I'm so glad that you've been with us. I really enjoy these times together, and I hope that I get to hear from you today. Some of you have been listening and still haven't said hi. Today's the day. Say hi. drop me a message if you're listening on the podcast, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever it is, and just leave a note. Let me know what you're enjoying about this study and any tips that you have for other people, because we are a community. We come together. I learn from you, you from me, and all of us from the Word of God as we share that together. So once again, thank you for being here with me together. And as always, know you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.